You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And good evening and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Through your prayerful and financial contributions, you've kept us on the air for some 40 years now, and we can't thank you enough. It's only because of those contributions that we're able to bring you shows like today's. Before we go to our guests, just one announcement. This coming Sunday is our Wake Up America dinner. It'll be held out at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House, better known as Malvern. And we'll get started at 1:30. The afternoon will go till about 5:30. We'll break bread together and have dinner. We'll have a keynote address from the president of In His Sign, Kathleen McCarthy, and a number of the broadcasters and engineers, volunteers, will all be on hand. If you have not gotten a ticket yet and you're still interested, your best bet is to give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. You can get more information about the dinner on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page, and there's two links there, one for a general flyer and then one for sponsors. If you're interested in sponsoring the event, we would certainly appreciate it. Along those same lines, our second fundraiser of the year will be on October the 10th, our golf outing out at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. We're still wrapping up details, and we will get them to you as soon as we have them. So without any further ado, happy to welcome to the show Dan Burke. Dan is the founder and president of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation, which offers graduate and personal enrichment studies in spiritual theology to priests, deacons, religious, and laity in 90 countries and prepares men for seminary in over 30 dioceses. Dan is the author and editor of more than 17 books on authentic Catholic spirituality and hosts the Divine Intimacy radio show with his wife Stephanie, which is broadcast weekly on EWTN Radio. Past episodes can be found along with thousands of articles on the interior life at spiritualdirection.com. In his deep commitment to the advancement of faithful Catholic spirituality, he's also the founder of Apostolae Vitae, a worldwide private association of the faithful dedicated to living and advancing the authentic spiritual patrimony of the Church. Most importantly, he's a blessed husband, father of four, grandfather of one, and grateful to be Catholic. Welcome to the show, Dan. It's great to have you with us.
That's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And in the previous hour, I do a show with my good friend, Father Douglas McKay, who's probably the person I know who is most intimate with the writings of Teresa Avila and John of the Cross. And so we share from time to time about the interior castle and the various writings of these great Carmelites. And the book that we're talking about today is The Devil in the Castle, St. Teresa of Avila, Spiritual Warfare and the Progress of the Soul, published by Sophia Institute, available at sophiainstitute.com. I'm sure also here in the local area, Philadelphia area, you can get it through the St. Jude shop. If they don't have it in stock, I'm sure they can get it for you very quickly. So I usually don't start with the conclusion of a book first, Dan, but there was something that struck me when I got there. And it says, my experiences in exorcism and deliverance ministry have been formative and have given me a greater awareness of what is real and what is illusory. I believe this greater awareness is vital for our time because the darkness is settling in at a rate I have not seen in my lifetime. And that struck me, and obviously the book, based on the title, has a lot to do with spiritual warfare and this darkness that's settling in today. And you claim that you see it more now than you have in your lifetime, which is saying something.
Yeah, I mean, we work with a lot of exorcists and on a regular basis, and without a single exception, every one of them reports that the exorcisms are far more difficult than they've experienced, and there's more of them. I think I won't give away which place, but there's a major center in the United States that deals with folks, and they had 12 people they took in 1 week, and that's just unprecedented numbers. Even though it may seem small, it's you know, each person that goes into for exorcism takes hours and hours of time, both psychological evaluation, time with priests, aftercare, preparation, you know, all of that. And so, you know, most of my reporting is based on their testimony, but also then on a personal level, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the problems we have in the church. I mean, it seems that the whole, with few exceptions, the whole German episcopate is gone apostate. And so, that's demonic, you know, at its core. So I think the indicators are we're in, unfortunately, one of the worst periods in memory, or at least even in recent history in the church. And it's we need to know how to fight, because if we don't know how to fight, we just become part of the problem.
Amen. And so while the worst of it appears to be happening now, certainly Satan and demonic possession and those types of things were nothing new. And with Teresa of Avila and her great work in the interior castle, written, you know, centuries ago now, experienced maybe not to the same degree, but certainly experienced her own spiritual warfare and wrote about it as she put together the interior castle in her attempt to help the Carmelites of her time advance in the spiritual life, and certainly in the prayer life, to get to contemplative prayer.
Yeah, she really had a lot to say about it, and it had never been treated before as a separate theme in history that I'm aware of, in English or Spanish, and so I wanted to do it because I thought it was an area of her thought that's not often focused on, or rarely, if ever, but also as a test to my own sanity. You know, I being involved in exorcisms and, you know, doing the work that we do, you can wonder at times, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Am I thinking, am I hearing what I'm hearing? Is this all real? And certainly there are things you can't deny that are supernatural and just downright, you know, scary and different. But what I wanted to do with this book was my own exploration of a doctor of the church and ask the question, is my view of the spiritual world in keeping with Catholic tradition, or am I just so immersed in this side of things that I see a devil under every rock, you know? And what I came out with was, I'm not crazy, and that spiritual warfare is normative, should be normative for every Christian, and if they're not experiencing it, they're probably being managed pretty well in a way that's very dangerous to their salvation. So they're in the battle whether they know it or not. And the issue is I'm trying to write to get people to fight. So whether that be through my last book, Ignatian Spirituality, or through St. Teresa, this is a period where warriors are the only ones who are going to make it. And it doesn't matter how old you are, or how young you are, where you are in the faith, you're called to be a warrior for God. And either you get engaged or you're going to get taken out.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, we've never met. My background is more in the recovery and addiction field. And when I came back to the faith some 30 years ago, you know, at that time, the devil didn't need to worry about me. I was probably doing his bidding for a decade or so leading up to my final fall that landed me in recovery and back in the faith. And so to your point, if you're not experiencing the spiritual warfare, and I certainly wasn't, I was living it. You know, I was living the life of the evil one, if you will. And
you were defeated.
Absolutely. He owned me. And I didn't have to go through an official exorcism, but I know that I had to go through an awful lot to get where I am today. And the thing that you see, especially when you come back to the faith, and I was set on fire through a retreat experience, and that was when the evil one's ears all of a sudden perked up and say, hey, wait a minute, I have to worry about this person now. And I didn't know what it was at first. And, you know, thank God for people like yourself, the folks at EWTN, the great priests and religious that are out there that are willing to help people in this area, because, you know, it'd be two steps forward, one step back, and then wondering if I was on the right page and if the things that I was thinking and wondering where they were coming from. And if you're not aware, that they can really throw you off. And so I think that's the great part about this book, especially for those that have either already read Teresa Avila or have heard about her and want to experience the what's offered in the interior castle, that you get this warning up front that there's a potential for this to happen. And and with your book, not only do you know the potential for what can happen, but you give us plenty of ways to engage in that warfare and fight back.
Yeah, a lot of people, and you probably can bear witness to this, a lot of people experience things in their life, and they don't know necessarily how to categorize it. And sometimes it feels natural, but they have a lot of destructive thoughts in their head, destructive patterns of behavior, like you talked about with addiction. You know, there are folks who death seems to follow them. You know, all of these different experiences that if you don't understand the source, you don't understand you're in the battle. But like you, when someone wakes up, when they have a true conversion, then your eyes are open and you look around and realize, wow, you know, the source of this thing is not, certainly our sin allows the enemy in, and the enemy will manipulate us and our sinful tendencies, but the source of a lot of the things that we face is often demonic. And then once you wake up, here's the glory of it, and I think you could also bear witness to this. The glory of it is when you wake up and you begin to fight the true enemy, you know, the real issue, deal with the real issue, you start to win. And then you're convinced. Then you're going, okay, yeah, this is real. I'm you know, I just renounced these things rolling around in my head in Jesus' name, and they went away. Wow, you know, the psychologist couldn't help me do that. But the name of Jesus, it all went away. And I mean, I don't want to paint it as if it's that easy, but sometimes it is.
Very good. Our guest today is Dan Burke, and we're talking about the book, The Devil in the Castle, St. Teresa of Avila, Spiritual Warfare, and the Progress of the Soul. So to get into the book, Dan, for someone that is completely unfamiliar with the interior castle, or should they be at least aware of what the interior castle is about? Can they just pick this up and get something from it?
Well, I put it together in a way that you don't have to know who she is or what she ever wrote, you know. The goal, you know, Dr. Lewis, who wrote the introduction, is a preeminent spiritual theologian, or the foreword. So he wrote a nice summary of the context of the book and about Teresa of Avila and the importance of the book, which is probably the most important book in the history of the church on the topic of prayer and union with God. But I think the way I tried to write this is not to dumb it down in any way, but to make her thought and wisdom more accessible, more systematic, and more practical. So she never edited her works. She wrote Stream of Consciousness. And so she takes bunny trails and she sometimes, you know, puts things in one chapter that maybe belongs in a previous one, but she had a memory of, oh, I didn't cover this. You know, things that can be very confusing in trying to read her. So what I did is extracted all of those distractions and just tried to give a more clear, systematic presentation of the spiritual battle that happens in all of the phases of the interior life. So from the beginning, when somebody just says, hey, I want to follow God, all the way through to, you know, becoming a saint in this life, canonized or not, we're all called to be saints before we get to heaven. And so her wisdom really covers the entire spectrum from the moment we are converted, so to speak, to the moment we meet God face to face.
And so in the interior castle, Teresa Avila lays out the progression in the life of prayer, eventually leading to contemplative prayer and that ultimate union with God. And so maybe we could take our listeners just through at a high level. We're not going to read the book or give you all the details. Again, you need to pick it up either from Sophia Institute or locally here from the St. Jude Shop or other book companies. But at a high level, there's seven levels to this castle, right, Dan?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is to break it down into the more traditional framework of the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways. So her mansions, and I do lay this out in the book, her mansions fit within each of those ways, and it's a simpler breakdown. The purgative way, it extends from, let's say, baptism all the way to some significant level of holiness, where we're past habitual mortal and venial sin. So the purgative way really begins when somebody says, you know, I want to follow God. They may be at that stage in habitual mortal sin, but nonetheless, they have a conversion. I imagine when you converted, if you and I are similar, we're both in mortal sin when we converted or came to, you know, a real substantive understanding of who God is and began to walk. So that's when we entered into the purgative way. And then as you overcome habitual mortal sin, you make progression in that phase, and you overcome habitual venial sin. And then certain things happen in prayer and the interior life. And then you transition out of that to the illuminative way. which is primarily where you grow much more rapidly in virtue. It's the realm where you experience contemplative prayer, mystical kinds of prayer. And then after that stage is the unitive, which is, you know, the canonizable territory where, you know, there's a joy is constant, suffering is embraced. You know, there's, so I outline all the factors in the book to help the reader understand as best they can where they are. So when they read St. Teresa as an example, in the first mansion or the second or the fourth, where am I? That's where a lot of people want to know. And so I give in the book a graphs, like the purgative way includes mansions 1 through 3, and the illuminative way is mansions 4 through 6, and then the unitive is 6 to the 7th. So it helps the reader understand. And to give an analogy, the purgative way is like adolescence, from toddler to adolescence, and the illuminative way is like from adolescent to young adult, and then the unitive would be, you know, squarely in the adult realm. So these help us to kind of get a sense of, well, is what I'm experiencing normal, or am I stunted in my growth? You know, do I need to get help? And then, of course, the overlay of the battles that occur at each phase. So, you know, I Teresa, in every case, which is interesting that this was never written about before, but in every mansion or every step of spiritual growth, she says, this is how the devil works. You know, so once we know how he works, and I outline at the end of each chapter key tactics of the enemy, and I'll just take, I have a book here. So summary of the battles of the mansion, demonic goal, key tactics of the enemy, how to battle the tactics successfully, and encouragement. And she always gives encouragement in each chapter as well, which is interesting. So even though she wanders a bit, she is got some structure to the way that she thinks, and I try to draw that out to make it easy for the reader.
Very good. And just in the limited exposure I've had to the book, I saw exactly what you are talking about. And for me, I may have mentioned earlier, to be aware up front that these are the things that you could possibly encounter, or at least a flavor of some of these things. And I think, you know, people that I've worked with, and my good friend Father McKay has worked with, and, you know, trying to bring them along in the faith and in a prayer life, and, you know, these things come up that we don't understand. I certainly didn't understand it early on. You know, why am I having all these distractions? Why can't I sit here for 5 minutes without in prayer without being attacked and these thoughts, and where, you know, and I thought the thoughts were me, and that there was something wrong with me, and not realizing that, you know, that the evil one actually has a plan in place to, you know, come after us when we start down this path. So,
yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, he's got a clear plan. As an example, in the first mansion, which is where you just enter the castle, and what is different about the Christian at this stage is that they begin to take up daily mental prayer, and they begin to do a kind of examination of conscience to become aware of their patterns in their life and their sins and God's, you know, work in their heart. And the devil really pours on a lot of resistance at this stage, because he knows that if you persevere in daily mental prayer, you're going to be a very different kind of Christian than the one who sort of is just always circling the drain. The Christian who takes up mental prayer gets to know Jesus, falls in love with Jesus, and is willing and desires to give their entire life to him. The person who doesn't may be a good Catholic, in quotes, but you don't, you know, they don't have what they need as a norm. I mean, God can always perform miracles, but they don't have what they need as a norm to really progress spiritually. And so what she says is the demons in the outer court, which is the, you know, right as you're entering into the castle, those demons are pretty ferocious, very active in trying to get you. For instance, you mentioned distractions, trying to get you to give up, get you to be frustrated, get you to be angry, get you to be, you know, they'll incite people at work to come against you to distract you. They'll stir up issues in your home life. And some people in the audience might be sitting out there going, well, then why would I do it if it's going to cause all this attention? Well, the answer is, if you're on the outer edges of the kingdom and you're a good Catholic, in quotes, it's sort of like hanging out near a lion's cage where it can reach its paw in there and pull you out. And why would anybody want to live like that? So the saints are really clear that at the end of life, we run into our biggest challenges near the end of life with temptations to blasphemy and things that could certainly take us to hell. And so if your will isn't strong at that phase, you're not making it. So you either got to learn to fight now or you know, you're not going to, you're just going to be taken advantage of at the end. So, and not only that, I mean, you and I both know we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on our side. And all we need to do is fight and hang in, and we're going to win. You know, the only people who lose this fight are people who don't fight or people who quit. People who don't fight have basically quit in some way.
Very good. Danny, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just kind of went dead for a second. So you, one of the things you mentioned, we're going to take a break here in about a minute and a half, but before that, you mentioned mental prayer. And for those, I do get listeners, a lot of them are people I know that are new to the spiritual life or just starting out. When you say mental prayer, what does that entail?
That is a different kind of prayer than a lot of devout Catholics are used to. It's not a prayer that somebody else has written or that sort of thing, but what it is when you enter into the Gospels in particular, which are all about Jesus' life, and you enter into what it was like in the time of Jesus when he was physically present on the earth, and what he taught his disciples, how they lived, how they encountered him. When you meditate on those things, you become aware of what he's done for you, become aware of who he is, and the beauty that you know, and the glory of it all, and then that draws you into a deeper relationship. It actually makes you stronger. It gives you many, many graces. It increases the graces that you receive at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass in confession, because your heart is more fully attuned to who he is and who you are. And so, mental prayer is just a intimate conversation, an intimate exploration with you and God of the person and work of Jesus, and then the Lord takes you through various phases in that exploration of understanding who he is and how we should then live.
Very good. And that brings us right to the bottom of the hour. So, again, our guest is Dan Burke, and we're talking about his latest book called The Devil in the Castle, St. Teresa of Avila, Spiritual Warfare, and the Progress of the Soul, published by Sophia Institute. If you have a Dan, you mind taking calls if we get any?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I'll give you out the phone numbers. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And In His Sign Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We could not be here without all that you do for us. So keep it coming in whatever way you can, especially in these difficult times for some. If you can continue to do what you've been doing, that's great. If you can do a little more, we certainly appreciate it. Our guest today is Dan Burke, and we're talking about his book, The Devil in the Castle, St. Teresa of Avila, Spiritual Warfare and the Progress of the Soul, published by Sophia Institute. And in the first segment, we talked generally about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle, the seven mansions, the purgative, illuminative, and unitive path in the spiritual life and in the prayer life. And in going through the book, Dan, this is, I think, a huge help for anyone that's trying to advance in prayer life, especially trying to get to contemplative prayer, because like we've been saying, that it's the last thing that the evil one wants for any of us to achieve. And so the book lays out potential things that Satan may try to do to push you off the beam, and ways that we can work in order to either avoid or fight back when that does happen. So in that regard, it's a great book. And once people are starting down this path, there's a couple of basic things that you outline in the book that all the saints did and that we certainly need to adapt in our own lives. And one of them, Dan, is the daily examine. And
yeah,
it's one of those things that the show before this one that I do with Father McKay is called Saints and Sinners, and we talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar each week. And, you know, almost every saint that we talk about was doing the daily examine, maybe even before, you know, Ignatius of Loyola made it popular or called it that. But it's the basics of it is to really get to know who we are, right? So we can understand, you know, what's going on in our lives and certainly in our prayer life.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, one of the biggest problems of sin is it makes us stupid, right? And because of sin, the human person has an infinite capacity for self-delusion. And so we have in very little capacity for, you know, honest self-knowledge. So we judge ourselves on the basis of what we aspire to be rather than what we are. You know, people around us know we're very different than what we think of ourselves, and yet they're afraid to tell us, you know, because of the consequences sometimes doing things like that. So the way the saints have seen to overcome that is every day as a form of prayer at the end of the day or at the beginning of the next day. We review the previous day and ask the Lord or the Blessed Mother to reveal to us where we've fallen short, you know, or what we did right, even. The way, in our community, the way we practice it, it's called a redemptive examine. So we begin with three things we're grateful for, and we do this at night, usually, three things we're grateful for the day. Then we do an examination of conscience, which is one of the ways we do it is we look back at every interaction with every person and ask the question if we represented, you know, the Lord to that person well, if we were kind and patient and gentle and all of that. And if we were, we express gratitude to God for helping us. And if we're not, we express gratitude to God for forgiving us, but also showing us so that we can learn to fight better and see patterns that are destructive in us. So the daily examine is a way of waking up. You know, you've heard of being woke, right? Woke is a joke. Being really awake, you know, will get you to heaven. Being woke will get you nowhere. So God be praised. He shows us, reveals to us, what is a barrier between him and us, and then gives us the tools to eliminate that barrier, either by his healing power. I think from what your story you've said, you've probably experienced some of that. And then also just by giving us the strength to fight like heaven to get the hell out of us, you know?
Nah, it's a great line. And, the folks that are in recovery, and there's quite a few of them that listen to the show, that, you know, we have a 10th step where we, you know, take a personal inventory each day. And I think the daily examine is like a 10th step on steroids where, you know, we do a little bit more than just look at the harms we've done to others. We, like you say, we look at each interaction that we have and how we responded and use that in order to move forward in the spiritual life, right? So we mentioned that, you know, you and I, when we start out on this path, had mortal sin in our background, and I think it's even Teresa of Avila that would say that, you know, the mortal sin is easier to root out. It's like weed in a garden. You get the big roots first, or the big weeds first.
Right.
And then it's all those little ones that are still hanging around. And I just know from, you know, taking care of the garden at home. My wife loves these big gardens, but that means you got to weed them. And so you go and you get the big ones that are really distracted, but those little ones I tend to let go. And I think, you know, a lot of us, you know, we're happy to get rid of the big ones, but the little ones we may let linger around longer than we should. And I think the daily examine is a great tool to identify and root them out as well.
Yeah, I don't go a day without it because I'm an idiot, you know, and all of my navigational gauges are broken because of sin. And so how do you fix those gauges so they always point to heaven? The only way to do that is, I mean, there's a handful of ways. One is an authentic conversion. The second are the sacraments. The third is prayer, mental prayer, and the examine. And then the fourth is medical disciplines, which are deliberate acts of self-giving and self-denial. That's fundamentally a description of what it means to follow Jesus. And when we do that, we'll make a lot of progress. And if we don't, we just get into that, back into that circling the drain problem.
Yeah, and one of the other tools that you talk about, and you actually have a guide for confession in the back of the book. One of the a more frequent confession. Some of us may have not been going at all. You know, we come back and we're happy to go once. And then we're going to make it an annual thing when we go on retreat. And then as we advance in the spiritual life, we find that more frequent confession seems to have benefit. And so the daily examine can help you with confession, because if you're doing it, obviously reviewing your day, especially if you journal it, you'll have those sins readily available when it comes time for confession. But along those lines, how often do you recommend that people take advantage of that sacrament?
Well, confession is more powerful than exorcism, and there are far more graces available to us in confession than most people realize. It's not just for the forgiveness of sins, which of course is preeminent and important, but confession also gives you grace and strength and wisdom and all that you need to fight sin. So if you are battling sin and you're in mortal sin, get to confession weekly. If you're battling habitual venial sin, get to confession at least every other week, monthly. And then if you're past that, good. Still good to go every other week to talk about imperfections and past sins and things like that. So in our community, we always say it's once a month is minimum if you want to grow spiritually. So, but most of our community members go every other week as a habit.
Very good. I think we've covered a lot of what's in the book, and you just brought it up and mentioned your community, and I'd love to give you an opportunity to talk about it. I think it's something that listeners might definitely be interested in, and a lot of times, and I know I started out this way where I didn't know anybody else that was trying to find their way on the path that I was on, and I started accumulating all kinds of books, thinking I'd have an opportunity to read them and I'd find a secret in one of them somewhere. And it took me probably 10 years to finally hook up with a few people that were on the same path and to start talking about it. So, like I said, you've mentioned community, and I just, if you could share with us the things that might be available that would interest people that are, trying to learn, especially the beginners, how they can get started down this path.
Yeah, so it's called Apostoli Vie, which just means Apostles of the Way, and right now we're going through the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament in Mass, and those scriptures are all reveal that the first name of the Christians was the Way, and so that's, we're named after that, and Jesus is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. So our mission is to live the contemplative life, to light the way to others, and then to personally assist those who desire to draw deeper to the Lord. We're several thousand members worldwide, Australia and Canada and Japan, and we meet the second and fourth Saturdays at 8 a.m. Central, and all of the connection that you can get, free courses we offer, everything is free, and none of it is for recruiting purposes. It's just to help people. And you can find that at apostolivie.org. That's APOSTOLIVIAE.org. And in that site, you'll find, you know, free courses on the catechism taught by Father Altier. You'll find free courses on spiritual warfare and discernment of spirits, on this book, on how to do a rule of life, how to practice mental prayer, all of that. And people like you, you know, we have we're sort of black, white, green, whatever color, whatever country, whatever age group, you'll find people there on fire for the Lord and really working hard to be holy and helping each other. It's not just a place for coursework. It's also a place to meet and talk to other people about faith.
Very good. I took a quick look at the website, and to your point, you got the Sojourners, and those are the folks that may just be getting started, and then those that get a little further along move into your disciples group, it looks like. So it's for anybody, anywhere in the spectrum of spiritual life or prayer life. It looks like we'll definitely get something from this.
Yeah, no doubt. We really, it's you said it so well. I don't need to repeat it, but if you want to become a saint, you got to find saints and run with them. And saints run in packs, so find a pack and go. And there are a lot of really beautiful people like yourself and others who are in the community that are, you know, give their lives to help others and encourage each other and to know and to live out what it means to be an authentic disciple of Jesus. So in these tough times, we need to draw near to people who are all in, and that's going to help us a ton.
Very good. Any final comments on the book before we let you go?
No, I mean, just thanks for having me on. My prayer is that this book becomes a bit of a field manual for spiritual warfare for the normal Christian, the one who's just trying to figure out how to make it work day to day. And it'll take you from being an infant warrior to a very mature warrior spiritually. And I promise you that the tools in there, because they're the tools of the church, will lead you to the life that Jesus has for you. And so go out and check it out and join us in Apostolate VA or at spiritualdirection.com, and we'll give you all the help you need.
Very good. Again, our guest today has been Dan Burke, and the book that sparked the conversation was The Devil in the Castle, St. Teresa of Avila, Spiritual Warfare and the Progress of the Soul, published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com. But more importantly, go and visit our local Catholic bookstore here in the Philadelphia area and grab your copy there. Dan, I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate the time you were able to spend with us today talking about this book. I know my engineer's shaking his head. I know he's going to want a copy. The copy I have in front of me, I've got to give to my spiritual director. He's the Carmelite at heart. That he already told me he's taking mine. So I really appreciate the time and the explanation. And again, you know, when we talk about books, we give you some of the details, hopefully enough to wet your whistle. But you really need to go out and get this one, especially in these times, as Dan mentioned. I mean, and one of the sources he's got in the book in the back is a book by Father Ripperger. And if you follow any of these guys that are involved in exorcisms and some of the pretty bad stuff that's going on these days, they'll tell you it is getting worse. I don't know if it's the devil's last effort because he knows his time is short or what, but we need all the help we can get right now in that battle, and this book goes a long way to do that. So thank you again, Dan. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate all you're doing. God bless.
You too. Be good. Again, Dan Burke, Burke, The Devil in the Castle. And Father McKay's getting the copy of the book I got. Patrick's going to have to go buy his own. But anyway, you know, we're living in these times, and everywhere you turn, it just seems like there's something dark, something bad, something evil going on. At the same time, you know, Jesus tells us, St. Paul tells us that where, you know, sin abounds, there's even more grace. And that, you know, that grace is available to all of us. We just celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday a couple of days ago. And, you know, the floodgates of mercy were open on that day. And, you know, I think about the miraculous medal and the Blessed Mother's fingers and the rays that are coming out. And there's a couple of fingers that don't have rays. And I forget if it was the saint that had the vision that asked her or someone else, but, you know, why were there fingers that didn't have rays coming from them? And she said that that was for the graces that weren't asked for. And I'm sure that there was plenty of mercy to go around on Sunday that wasn't asked for. And we need to find our way to tap into that, to ask our Blessed Mother for those graces, to ask Jesus for that mercy. And that's what they want to give us more than anything else, that ultimate love that God has for us. God is love, and he wants us to experience his love. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have pain and suffering. It doesn't mean that, life is going to be peaches and cream. You know, Father McKay mentioned in the previous show, and I didn't, you know, take it as deeply as he did, you know, this conversation that we had this morning. And but he saw it, that the evil one was wedging his way in there to try and put us off track. And I've got a number of people that I'm hanging out with that are, you know, running the race together now and praying for each other and helping each other. And, you know, the conversation's a lot anymore, you know, turn to what's going on in the world. And it's real easy to get caught up in the evil and to try and pick sides and to be on the right side of everything. And I, at least for me, I need to remember that, you know, I'm a sojourner in this world, to use Dan Burke's idea from the website. I'm just a sojourner here. This isn't my destiny. I'm destined for heaven. And I can tell you 30 years ago, that wasn't the plan. I was destined for a pretty dark spot. But I believe today that I'm destined for heaven, and that we all can be destined for heaven. And we can experience God's happiness and God's joy, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy today. We don't need to wait until we get to heaven to experience it. But as Dan referenced, we need to run with the saints. We can use the material that the saints have written. We can, you know, take out of it what we can in order to implement it in our own lives, especially the idea of the daily examine and frequent confession. And that daily examine, of course, means daily prayer. Dan mentioned mental prayer. As much time as we can spend in prayer is it may be even more important than confession. And I say that only because, a reference I made a few months back to Father Faber in the spiritual conferences, where he had a chapter or a conference he gave where it was entitled "Why Frequent Confession Results in So Little." And it was because, you know, you can go to confession every day, but if you're not spending time in prayer, chances are you're going to keep doing the same things over and over again, confessing the same sins over and over again. So we need to really develop that prayer life. And for some of us, the Calyx Society is a great way to get plugged back into the faith, to run with the pack and, you know, work with other people that are, you know, just trying to advance in the spiritual life. And we all come from a background where we either knew nothing, we knew very little, or what we knew was completely wrong. And so we're relearning, getting rewired. And the beauty of it is that we get to help each other along. And our church and our parishes offer ways to do that as well. You know, you have your sodalities and your, Dan mentions in his book, things like the Third Orders, the Third Order Franciscans, the Third Order Carmelites, the Dominicans, a lot of our parishes. We were just talking about it this morning. I think St. Gabriel Parish down in Grace Ferry is looking to start up a St. Vincent de Paul group. And, you know, I always thought that that was just about, you know, charity, people, you know, donating and giving, and then an organization that would, you know, dispense with the money and the clothing and food or whatever it is that was collected. And it's only in the last couple of years that I came to know that it's more like a third order, that they follow the teachings of St. Vincent de Paul, you know, get together for monthly prayer time and mass and those types of things. So there are plenty of organizations and groups out there. If you can't get out, I think this Apostoli VA that Dan mentioned, apostoliviae.org. I'm sure if you do a search on Dan Burke or Apostoli, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-I, I'm sure you're going to get Father Apostoli, Kathleen's friend from back in the day, but you'll get this as well. Bottom line is, we're not alone in this. That's what the devil wants us to believe, that we're the only ones that think what we think, do what we do, have the sinful life that we have. And the fact of the matter is that we're not unique. We're unique in God's eyes to some degree, but most of the things that we experience in life, somebody else has already experienced. And when we work on these things together, especially when we pray for one another, help one another as best we can, we can help lead each other to those pearly gates where one day we'll all be in heaven with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, the Apostles, these great saints that we talk about week in and week out, and experience that eternal joy that we were destined for. That's what Adam had before the fall. We don't know how long he got to live it. You know, in the Bible, it's only a chapter or two, but it could have been for some time that he got to live the divine will and experience what we're all going to experience when we finally reach our ultimate destiny. So again, on this Wednesday, it's been a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to being with you again next week. I think in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about Padre Pio. So lots to talk about when it comes to the good Padre. And Father McKay and I will certainly be back in the 4 o'clock hour. I want to thank you for whatever amount of time you were able to spend with us this afternoon. And again, look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.